Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a great word. Let us pray this morning and get started in our Word. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, asking you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease. Give us understanding, discernment, and discernment of your word. Lord God, I ask you to lift up those that are homeless today, that feel helpless today. I ask you, Lord God, to give them shelter and understanding that you are with them, that you will never leave us or forsake us, for that is what your word says. And Lord, we stand on your word today, believing and trusting in your healing power, in your grace, and in your mercy, Lord God. And Father God, as we go through this word, I pray, Father God, for you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Father God, be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord, are my strength, and you, Lord, are my redeemer. And it's in the matchless name of my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Giving honor to God through our Savior, through the one, ooh, hallelujah, through the word, through the light, who is Jesus Christ. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of God. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for me. You know, we sing the Mary Mary song. I believe it was Edwin Hawkins that wrote it. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. It could have been me. Outdoors, with no home. All left alone without a friend. Just another number. What a tragic end. But you didn't see fit to let none of these things be. By your grace and your power, you keep on keeping me. And I want to say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. We got to give God. And we can't be stiff-necked like the children of Israel. We can't go from this and that and be willows in the wind. We got to stand firm. I am a child of God. Yes, I make mistakes. Yes, I'm not perfect. But I know that my Father God loves me. I know that I'm trying to be better, to get better, to do better. And that's what we have to do. Try to do better so we can make our Father proud, can do what we are called to do, our assignments. So I'm starting my assignment, which is to read the Word of God. And today we are coming out of the book of Exodus, chapter 35, verses 1 to chapter 36. Verse 38, and we're going to continue in Exodus chapter 37 to chapter 38, 31, and our last Exodus word for we will be in the Old Testament today. We'll be Exodus 39 through 40. So we will be reading Exodus 35 through Exodus 40, 38. And if time permits, we will go into reading our Psalms and Proverbs. And we will read a proverb and a psalm today because our title came from Psalms. And so what we're going to do today is start in the psalm that our title came from this morning. And we're going to start in Psalms chapter 22 is where our word came from today. And we will get that this morning. But I first would like to start. Normally we start in our main scripture, which would be Exodus 35 to 40. But today we're going to start in Psalms chapter 22, verses 1 through 21. So please join me in the book of Psalms. And the word that God gave me and the insight was that when David was speaking this word, he was talking about Jesus. He was talking about Jesus. And it didn't hit me until I started looking at it a little closer. And I asked God, show me and give me discernment of this word that you had me to put as our title. And it says, from my mother's womb, you have been my God. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. And the my is a capital M. And me is a capital M. It goes on to say some things that we know are Jesus. So let's get into this word. And like I said, it is a wonderful word. So we're going to go. So please join me in the book of Psalms, chapter 22. And as you listen to it, just think on the words that it's saying. And it just says, the suffering, praise, and posterity of the Messiah. You know, that's when you know the title. You know, that's why I love when you read the Bible. It gives you titles. And when I read this, I thought, because I don't have a title in my Charles Stanley Bible, but in one of my regular Bibles, it says, the suffering, praise, and posterity, the Messiah. It says, to the chief musicians, set to the deer of the dawn, a psalm of David. And this is Jesus. And the thing is that we know that the scripture that Jesus had to get, you know, the Pharisees told off. And so when he told them, how can I be the son of David when David called me my Lord, my Lord. We know David knows Jesus. And this is the word that says, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we know that is in the word in the New Testament when Jesus is getting ready to be crucified. We know in the garden, he speaks this. It says, why are you so far from helping me and from the word of my groaning? God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praise of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and we and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Now he's on the cross. And they ridicule him. And we know it's in the gospel. We know it's in the gospel. It says, but you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. And that's the title of our lesson today. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. A word that we should all speak as men and women of God. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. I speak that because that is my heart. From my mother's womb, he has been my God. He has been there watching over me. From the little me to the grown up, sometimes insecure me. God is good. And he said, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. When we going through, and nobody can help you but God. Nobody can help us but God. God will tell you who to go to if you need additional help, a worldly help, but the spiritual help is already come. We know he comes through all the time. We know that he loves us more than anything. All we got to do is love him back. And the word comes to us and it says, many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look at me and stare. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing they cast in the word. It's prophetic what is coming to the Messiah. Verse 19. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. What a word this morning. What a word. And I have just read Psalms chapter 22, verses 1 through 21. Excuse me. And life lesson for Psalms 21, verse 1. God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Jesus Christ knew more about feeling abandoned by God than we ever will. But in his case, it was more than a feeling. For a moment, God turned his back on his son when he became sin for us. And we're going to go real quick to Matthew chapter 27. Told y'all it was a great word this morning. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And it just says, and this word, it always just does something to me. Because we're going to go up to 45, because you got to get this word in context. It says, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Why have thou, my God, why have you forsaken me? I say this, our Father God has never and will never forsake us. As long as we live a righteous life, trusting in him, believing in him, and knowing that he will take us where we need to go and do what we need to do. But he is God, and he is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of our word this morning. And we are coming out of the book of Exodus. So please join me in Exodus chapter 35. And we are just tooling right along through the book of Exodus. We're just going forward. And this is what it says. The word is actually coming out of the Life Principles Bible by Charles Stanley, but I will be reading it from the New King James Version of the Bible so that it's all together, not daily. But I will come back at the end of our lesson and we'll go over some life lessons from each chapter at that time. And this is the word of God from Exodus chapter 35. And I'm going to read the titles for each section. And it says, Sabbath regulation. And this is Exodus chapter 35, verses 1 through 3. It says, then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done, for day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath. Offerings for the tabernacle, which is basically a tithe, verses 4 through 9. And it says, and Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skin dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Because remember, they did not have, like we do, a church to pay the light bill, the gas bill. They are building this tent of meeting. They are building the tabernacle of God, and they need supplies to do it. So they're asking people to give what you can, but you have to have, what does it say, a willing heart. We have to have a willing heart to give to God what belongs to God, because nothing we have is ours. It all belongs to God. Because, again, you came into this world naked, and naked you shall leave it. And this is a word, chapter 10. It says, articles of the tabernacle. All who are gifted artists among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its claps, its boards, its bars, its pillows, its sockets, the ark and its poles with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering, the table and its poles, all its utensils, and the showbread. Also the lampstand for the light, its utensils, its lamps, and the oil for light, the incense altar, its poles, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, and the screen for the door of the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, which bronze grating, its poles, all its utensils, and the lever, for and its base, the hanging of the court, the pillars, their sockets, and the screens for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle, the pegs of the court, their cords, the garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron, and the priest, and garments of his sons to minister as priests. Tabernacle offerings presented. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord, and every man with whom was found blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, red skins of ram, badger skins brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering. Everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun, a blue, purple, and scarlet, fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarns of goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and spices and oil for the light of the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord, and all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. The artisans called by God. And Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled with him the spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to design artistic work, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels, for setting, in carving wood, and work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him Oholiab, the son of Ishmael, of the tribe of Dan. He has fulfilled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker in blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every day, every work, and those who design artistic works." In other words, God gave everybody their assignment, and their assignment, the artisans, was to build the tabernacle, to design it. They already had the design. All they had to do was carve it, put things where it belongs, make sure they had so many cubits all of these things had already been told and given to Moses. So Moses made sure that everything they needed, he asked for. We have not because we ask not. Just needed all these things. And so he asked for it. And God provided it through his people. But note, he said, a willing heart. We give to God with a cheerful heart, not a begrudging heart, not a, oh, I got to pay my tithe. No, I got to pay my tithe. Get that checkbook. Get that money order. Get what you got to get to pay your tithes. Your tithes come first, always. Well, you pay a bill, the tithes need to be paid because your tithes are what you owe to God. Because God is giving you more than you could ever imagine. And I don't believe in prosperity ministry that you got to give this huge seed in order to get huge blessing. That's a lot of nonsense. Because when you have a little, God gives you more. When you give from your heart is what causes God to bless you. Not how much you give. Because understand, what did he do? The woman with the 2 pence, Jesus appreciated her offering more than the rich man. So it's not how much you give, it's what you give from your heart. It's your heart, what you give to God. That's what he loved. He loved a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. I love God, and I love to cheerfully give whatever I can to God. Goes on to tell us in the Word, chapter 36, building the tabernacle. And Belial and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary shall go according to all that the Lord has commanded. The people gave more than enough. Come on now. And then Moses called Belial and Aholiab and every gifted artisan whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel brought from the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, indeed too much. God gave overflow. Think that through. These people are not working anywhere. These people don't get a salary. These people are out in the middle of the wilderness. But remember, God said that when they left Egypt, they would be given everything they needed. And when they left Egypt, they were given a whole lot. They was given more than enough that they were able to build the tabernacle out in the wilderness with overflow. That's the kind of God we have, an overflow God, building the tabernacle. Then all the gifted artisans among them who worked on the tabernacle made 10 curtains woven of fine linen and a blue, purple, and scarlet thread. And we read this same word earlier when God was giving Moses, so we know what everything is looking like. And then it said, the length of each curtain was 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain, 4 cubits. The curtains were all the same size. And he coupled 5 curtains to one another, and the other 5 curtains he coupled with one another. He made loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtains, on the shelves of one set. Likewise, he did to the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set. 50 loops he made on one curtain, and 50 loops he made on the edge of the curtain on the end of the second set, and loops held one curtain to another. And he made 50 clouds of gold and coupled the curtains to one another with the clouds that might be one tabernacle. He made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle. He made 11 curtains. The length of each curtain was 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain was 4 cubits. The 11 curtains were the same size. He coupled 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and he made 50 loops on the edge of the curtains, that is, uttermost in one set, and 50 loops he made on the edge of the curtain of the second set. He also made 50 bronze clasps to couple the tent together, that it might be one. Then he made a covering for the tent of ram skin, dyed red, and a covering of badger skin above that. For the tabernacle, he made boards of acacia wood, standing upright. The length of each board was 10 cubits, and the width of each board a cubic and a half. For each board had 2 tenons of binding one for another. Thus he made for all the boards of the tabernacle. And he made boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side, 40 sockets of silver he made to go under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. And for the other side of the tabernacle, the north side, he made 20 boards, and there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each board. For the west side of the tabernacle, he made 6 boards. He also made 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle, and they were coupled at the bottom and coupled together at the top by 1 ring. Thus, he made both of them for the 2 corners. So there were 8 boards and their sockets, 16 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. And he made bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle on the far side westward. And he made the middle bar to pass through the boards from one end to the other. He overlaid the boards with gold, made their rings of gold to be holders for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. And he made a veil of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen. It was worked with an artistic design of cherubim. He made for it 4 pillars of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold, with their hooks of gold, and he cast 4 sockets of silver for them. He also made a screen for the tabernacle door of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen made by a weaver, and its 5 pillars with their hooks. And he overlaid their capitals and their rings with gold, but their 5 sockets were bronze. Now we are in chapter 37, and we're making the Ark of the Testimony. And understand, this Ark has not been found. They have no idea where it is. Many say it's in Ethiopia. Some say it's in some other places. But you know what? God is hidden his Ark because it comes with much power. And as we know, in our day and in our time, power corrupts. And so many people are just wicked and not understanding. You mess with what is not yours, God will take care of you. I always think, when I think about the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Testimony, I think of Raiders of the Lost Ark and the Nazis trying to find the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the Testimony can have the power that's in it. And when they touch it and open it up, all of them die because God don't play, and they had just murdered his children. But anyway, I digress. So let's get back into our word this morning. And we are in, again, Exodus chapter 37, for those that are just joining us this morning. And it says, then Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits was its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. He overlaid it with pure gold, and inside and outside, and made a molding of gold all around it. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold to be set in its 4 corners, 2 rings on one side and two rings on the other side of it. He made poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold, and he put the poles into the rings at the sides of the ark to bear the ark. He also made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits was its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. He made 2 cherubims of beaten gold. He made them of one piece at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. One cherub was one end was the ark, and the other cherub on the other end of the on that side. He made the cherubim at 2 ends of one piece with the mercy seat. The cherubim spread out their wings above and covered the mercy seat with the wings. They faced one another. The faces of the cherubims were toward the mercy seat. So in other words, he made angels over the mercy seat. And then as we continue, it says, making the table for the showbread. He made the table of acacia wood, 2 cubits was its length, 1 cubit its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And he overlaid it with pure gold and made a molding of gold all around it. And he made a frame of a handbreadth all around it, made a molding of gold for the frame all around it. And he cast for it 4 rings of gold, put rings on the 4 corners that were at its 4 legs. The rings were close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. And he made the poles of acacia wood to bear the table and overlaid them with gold. He made of pure gold the utensils which were on the table, its dishes, its cups, its bowls, and its pitchers for pouring. They were made of gold. Wow. Did they have a lot of gold? And as we continue, making the gold lampstand. He also made the lampstand of pure gold. Hammered work, he made the lampstand, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs, and its flowers were of the same piece. And 6 branches came out of its side, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side. There were 3 bowls made like almond blossoms on one branch, and an ornamental knob and a flower, and 3 bowls made it like an almond blossom on the other branch with an ornamental knob and flower. And so for the 6 branches coming out of the lampstand and on the lampstand itself was 4 bowls made like an almond blossom, each with its ornamental knob and flower. There was a knob under the first 2 bowls, branches of the knob of the same as a knob, and under the second 2 branches of the same, and a branch under the third 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches extending from it. Their knobs and their branches were the one piece. All of it was one hammered piece of pure gold, and it made its 7 lamps, its wick trimmers, and trays of pure gold, of a talent of pure gold. He made it with all its utensils. Wow. And you can see the menorah. And it is 7 branches. It's beautiful. All we have to do is know it, believe it, and understand it. And as we go into, continue in chapter 36, and it said, and he made the incense altar of acacia wood. Its length was 1 cubit and 1 width, and it was square, and 2 cubits was a height. Its horns was 1 piece with it, and he overlaid it with pure gold, its top, its sides all around, and its horns. He also made for the molding of gold around it. He made 2 rings of gold for it under its molding by its 2 corners, and both sides are its holders for the poles with which he bare it. And he made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold, making the anointing oil and the incense. He also made the holy anointing oil and pure incense of sweet spices according to the work of the perfumer. Exodus 37, making the ark of the testimony. Then Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood. Wait a minute. Please, I think my stuff went the wrong direction, so excuse me. I think we messed up somewhere. Here we are. I need to go back. making me oil. And it says this, he also made the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spices according to the work of the perfumer. There we go. We're back on track. Exodus 38, making the altar a burnt offering. He made the altar a burnt offering of acacia wood. 5 cubits was its length and 5 cubits its width. It was square and its height was 3 cubits. He made its horns on its 4 corners. The horns were of 1 piece with it, and he overlaid it with bronze. He made all the utensils for the altar, the pans, the stove, the shovels, the basins, the forks, and the fire pans, all its utensils. He made of bronze, and he made a grate of bronze network for the altar under its rim, midway from the bottom. He cast 4 rings for the 4 corners of the bronze grating as holders for the poles. And he made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. Then he put the poles into the ring at the side of the altar with which to bear it. He made the altar hollow with boards, making the bronze lever. He made the lever bronze and its base of bronze from the bronze mirror of the serving women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, making the court of the tabernacle. And he made the court on the south side. The hanging of the court were of 5 woven linen and 100 cubic long. There were 20 pillows for them with 20 bronze sockets. The hooks of the pillows and the and their basins were silver. 1 on the north side, all hanging were 100 cubics long with 20 pillows and their 20 bronze sockets. The hooks of the pillows and their base were silver. And on the west side, there were hangings of 50 cubics with 10 pillows and their 10 sockets. The hooks of the pillows and their bands were silver. For the east side, the hangings were 50 cubics. The hangings of one side of the gate were 15 cubics long with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. And the same for the other side of the court gate. And on this side and on that were hangings of 15 cubits with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. All the hangings of the court all around were fine and woven linen. The sockets for the pillars were bronze. The hooks for the pillars and their bands were silver, and the overlay of their capitals were silver, and all the pillars of the court had bands of silver. The screen for the gate of the court was woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and a fine woven linen. The length was 20 cubits, and the height, along with its width, was 5 cubits, corresponding to the hangings of the court. And there were 4 pillows with their 4 sockets of bronze. The hooks were silver, and the overlay of their capitals and their bands was silver. All the pegs of the tabernacle of the court were all around were bronze. And it goes on to say materials of the tabernacle. Verse 21 of chapter 38, and it says, this is the inventory of the tabernacle of the testimony, which was counted according to the commandment of Moses for the service of the Levites by the hand of Itamar, son of Aaron the priest. Uzziel, the son of Hur, the son of Hur, and the tribe of Judah made all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And with him was Aholab, the son of Ishmael, the tribe of Dan, an engraver and designer, a weaver of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and of fine linen. All the gold that was used in all the work of the holy place, that is the gold of the offering, and 29 talents, 730 shekels according to the shekels of the sanctuary, and the silver from those who were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, 1,775 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary, a bekah for each man, that is half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary, for everyone included in the numbering from 20 years old and above, for 603,550 men. And from the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the bases of the veil, 100 sockets from the 100 talents, 1 talent for each socket. Then from the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars, overlaid their capitals, and made bands for them. The offering of bronze was 70 talents, 2,400 shekels. And with it, he made the sockets for the door of the tabernacle of meeting, the bronze altar, the bronze grating for it, and all the utensils for the altar, the socket for the court, all around the bases for the court gate, all the pegs for the tabernacle, and all the pegs for the court all around. Whew, I told you, it was a lot. You know, when God is setting up a church, this is a church. God is setting up his place of meeting. It is beautiful. If you listen, it's gold, it's silver, it's bronze. It has beautiful hangings of curtains, you know, woven and colored and beautiful. It just, it's beautiful and shiny and bright. Everybody had a hand in its design and making. Not its design, but in its making by their donations, by paying their tithes with a willing heart. That's of all this that we gain out of the making of the tabernacle and the priesthood and everything that God is doing. The one thing we can do and know is it was all done with a willing heart. Let's continue. Chapter 39 of the book of Exodus, the making the garments of the priesthood. It says, of the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, they made garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place and made the holy garments for Aaron as the Lord commanded Moses, making the ephod. And it said he made the ephod, woven linen, and they beat the gold into thin sheets and cut it into threads to work it with the blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and the fine linen into artistic designs. They made shoulder straps for it to couple together. It was coupled together at the two edges, and the intricately woven band of his ephod was on it was the same workmanship, woven of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and of fine woven linen. The Lord had commanded Moses, and they set onyx stones enclosed in settings of gold. They were engraved. A signet was engraved with the names of the sons of Israel. He put them on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel, as the Lord had commanded Moses, making the breastplate. And he made a breastplate artistically woven like the workmanship of the ephod, of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. They made the breastplate square by doubling it. A span was its length, and a span its width when doubled. And they set it in four rows of stones, a row with a sardis, a topaz, an emerald was the first row. The second row was a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row was genis, agate, and amethyst. The fourth row, beryl, onyx, and jasper. They were enclosed in settings of gold and every in their mountings. There was 12 stones according to the names of the son of Israel, according to their names engraved like a signet, each one with its own name according to the 12 tribes. And they made chains for the breastplate at the ends like the braided cords of pure gold. They also made two settings of gold, two gold rings, and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And they put the two braided chains of gold on the two rings on the ends of the breastplate. The two ends of the two braided chains they fastened in the two settings and put them on the shoulder strap of the ephod in the front. And they made two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate on the edge of it, which was an inward side of the ephod. They made two other gold rings and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward its front right and seams above an intricately woven band of the ephod, and they bound the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord so that it would be above the intricately woven band of the ephod, that the breastplate would not come loose from the ephod as the Lord had commanded Moses. Because understand, all this stuff, as we read farther back in Exodus, God giving Moses this design. And now they're completing the task that was given as they came out of Egypt. And it says, making the other priestly garments. He said he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And there was an opening in the middle of the robe, like the opening in a coat of mail, with a woven binding all around the opening so that it would not tear. They made on the hem of the robe pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet, and of fine woven linen. And they made veils of pure gold and put the veils between the pomegranates on the hem of the robe all around between the pomegranates, a veil and a pomegranate, all around the hem of the robe to minister in as the Lord had commanded Moses. Intricately woven of fine linen for Aaron and his sons, a turban of fine linen, exquisite hats of fine linen, short trousers of fine woven linen, and a sash of fine woven linen with blue, purple, scarlet thread made by a weaver as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote on it inscription like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And I'm reading that again, holiness to the Lord. And they tied to it a blue cord to fasten it above on the turban, as the Lord had commanded Moses. The work completed. And it says, thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So they did. And they brought the tabernacle to Moses. The tent furnishing, its claps, its boards, its bars, its pillows, and its sockets. The covering of ram skin dyed red, the coverings of badger skin, and the veil of the covering. The ark of the testimony with its poles and the mercy seat. The table, all its utensils, and the showbread. The pure gold lampstand with its lamps. The lamps set in order, all its utensils, and the oil for light. The gold altar, the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, the screen for the tabernacle door, the bronze altar, its grates of bronze, its poles, all its utensils, the lever and its base, the hangings of the court, its pillows and its sockets, the screen for the court gates, its cords and its pegs, all the utensils for the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of the meeting, and the garments of ministry to minister to in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and his sons, garments to minister as priests, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it. And the Lord had commanded, just so they did it. And Moses blessed them. Wow, what a word. And this is the word, our last chapter, chapter 40. The tabernacle erected and arranged. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall put it in the ark of the testimony and partition off the ark with the veil. You shall bring in the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it, and you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. You shall also set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony and put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. Then you shall set the altar of burnt offerings before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and you shall set the lever between the tabernacle meeting and the altar, and put water in it. You shall set up the court all around and hang up the screen at the court gate, the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and you shall hollow it and all its utensils, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offerings and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy, and you shall anoint the laver and its base and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle meeting and wash them with water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And you shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics. You shall anoint them as you anointed their father, that they may minister to me as priests, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So Moses raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put it in bars, and raised up the pillars. And he spread out the tent on the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent on top of it as the Lord had commanded Moses. He took the testimony and put it into the ark, inserted the poles through the rings of the ark, and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, hung up the veil of the covering, and partitioned off the ark of the testimony as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the table of the tabernacle meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting across from the table on the south side of the tabernacle. And he lit the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting in front of the veil. And he burned sweet incense on it, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He hung up the screen at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of burnt offerings before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and offered upon the burnt offering and the grain offering as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar and put water there for washing. And Moses, Aaron, and his sons would wash their hands and their feet with water from it whenever they went into the tabernacle meeting. And when they came near the altar, they washed as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. And it said, and the cloud and the glory. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journey. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, and then the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. And that is our word for this morning. We are out of time, but we will go over some of the life lessons from this word on Sunday, and we will do Proverbs and Matthew. And as we get ready to finish up, I do have a word, I believe, from Sister Carolyn this morning. And the word this morning is this: good morning. God will give you strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a fantastic Friday, family. Thank you for joining me this morning as we built a tabernacle for the Lord. I appreciate you. I thank God for you, and I pray for you. Have a blessed and glorious day, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. It is, as we say on Moving Forward, it's a wrap. It's time to build a temple. Make sure you give to the Lord willingly. And if nothing else, no other word hits your soul from what we read this morning, is that whatever you give to God, give it to God willingly. Thank you so much. We are about a minute over our time. But I thank God for all of you. Thank you so much. Be blessed and have a great day. It's a wrap.